Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Daytime highs approaching 49 today under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, lows level off around 35. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 70. Highs level off around 67 Wednesday under mainly sunny skies. 69 Thursday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 35 degrees.
This Kansas Information Network update is brought to you by Eaton Roofing and Exteriors.
Hi, I'm Felicia Rolfe. Here are today's headlines from 12 News. A group of moderate Senate Democrats joined Republicans last night to pass legislation that would be the first step in reopening the federal government. It still needs approval from the full Senate and the House before also getting approval from President Trump. The FDA investigating more than a dozen cases of botulism linked to recalled baby formula. 13 infants have fallen sick. And if you purchase whole nutrition infant formula from ByHeart, you should stop using it and seek a refund. And we're getting ready to honor America's heroes tomorrow, Veterans Day, across the U.S. on Tuesday. And there's a ceremony planned in downtown Wichita at Veterans Memorial Park at the Flag Pavilion. It begins at 11 o'clock on Veterans Day. In Wichita, Felicia Rolfe, 12 News.
You're listening to the Kansas Information Network.
Celebrate this 2026 holiday season by launching your family and friends out of this world at Blastoff Bay Indoor Water Park, connected to the Hampton Inn in Goddard, Kansas, where it's always 84 degrees and the thrills never end. Our biggest Black Friday sales are landing soon, perfect for gifts or to make a splash all winter long. Grab epic discounts on spring break passes, winter break tickets, and more. Visit blastoffbay.com before they're gone.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News is brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. Across the country, early childhood education centers are feeling the impact of the ongoing federal government shutdown, with some Head Start programs already forced to close their doors. The closures are leaving thousands of low-income families without access to childcare, meals, and early education services that Head Start normally provides. Head Start serves more than 700,000 children nationwide and relies almost entirely on federal funding. As those funds run dry, states and private organizations are stepping in to help. But the support is temporary. In Massachusetts, Governor Maura Healey advanced $20 million in state funds to keep the program operating, while in Georgia, private donors offered an $8 million loan to sustain services for a few more weeks. Some school districts in Washington State and Oregon are also using local resources to fill funding gaps. Despite these efforts, programs in 18 states have already shut down, affecting roughly 8,000 children, with tens of thousands more at risk as federal money remains frozen. In Ohio alone, several programs have closed, displacing hundreds of children and staff members, and more closures are expected if the shutdown continues. The situation is especially difficult for migrant farm worker families who rely on Head Start programs that travel with its agricultural seasons. In states like Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas, centers serving children of farm workers have suspended services, leaving many parents without affordable child care and forcing them to miss work. Advocates warn that without an end to the shutdown soon, more Head Start centers will be forced to close, leaving thousands of families without essential child care and early education resources that many depend on for daily stability. A month into the ongoing government shutdown, lawmakers are raising alarm about its widespread impact on both daily life and key parts of the nation's infrastructure, especially the aviation system. The shutdown, now the longest in U.S. history, has led to thousands of flight cancellations, delays, and disruptions affecting millions of travelers nationwide. Federal employees, including TSA agents and air traffic controllers, continue to work without pay, contributing to growing staffing shortages. As a result, the Department of Transportation Transportation has begun reducing flights at dozens of major airports to maintain safety standards. These effects are being felt not only in large hubs, but also in smaller airports that rely on those connections. The aviation industry is facing additional challenges as workers seek second jobs, quit, or avoid entering the field altogether due to the uncertainty. Airlines have reported millions of passengers affected by cancellation and delays in recent weeks, and further reductions in service may follow if the shutdown continues. Beyond aviation, the lapse in federal funding has disrupted programs such as SNAP and Head Start, while thousands of government employees remain without paychecks. The broader concern among lawmakers is that the shutdown weakens the U.S. economy and sends troubling signals to both allies and adversaries abroad. As the Thanksgiving travel season approaches, lawmakers are urging swift action to reopen the government and resume normal operations. They emphasize that restoring stability is essential not only for aviation safety, but for the country's overall economic and institutional health. I'll be back with more news after this.
Join our stellar team at Norton County Hospital. Looking for a workplace where compassion meets career growth? Look no further. If you're ready to embark on a fulfilling journey surrounded by supportive colleagues and opportunities for personal and professional development, we want you to be part of our family. Explore exciting career offerings and our comprehensive range of benefits, including CAPERS, on the Career tab at ntcohosp.com.
According to the unofficial minutes of the Norton City Council meeting held on November 5, 2025, the Norton City Council met in regular session on Wednesday, November 5th, with Mayor Jerry Jones presiding. Council members present were Dale Jacobson, Jim Miller, Jason Jones, Dale Engelbert, Gerald Jones, and Andrew Black. Others present were Mitch Lowry, Craig Evely, Courtney Cause, Kayla Peterson, Jeff Wolf, Abigail Horn, James Moreau, and Alex McKenna, along with others to present business or observe. Motion carried 6-0. Building and demolition permits were presented. Michael Siemens, accessory building at 506 West Crane, Norton County, demolition of dwelling at 122 Park. Ted White, demolition of shed garage at 310 North Jones. Terry and Penny Laughlin were present to request the use of the racetrack and livestock barn lights during the evening to train their dogs. It was decided to make sure the mini speedway is in agreement with them using the racetrack area and determine the cost associated with using the lighting before allowing them access. The following old business items were addressed. Gerald stated he has not been receiving the mass notification alerts by voice call and asked James to look into it. James reported they are still waiting for the crops to be harvested at the impound lot. James reported on the following properties: 409 East Waverly, continuing to make progress. The crew working on the 1000 block of Kennedy is continuing to make progress on the exterior condition of the properties. 322 South State was mowed and trimmed, and an abatement notice has been given to 603 North State. James stated he is continuing to work on the council room camera. Mitch stated he gave out the Retire Your Ride list at the Public Safety Committee meeting and will provide the list to Jeff. City Attorney Abigail Horn presented the deed to the county cleaning up the 5-foot strip by the 4-H building. A motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Dale Jacobson, to approve the quit claim deed. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0. A motion was made by Andrew Black, seconded by Dale Engelbert, to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of Norton and Nextech concerning the use and maintenance of the Wi-Fi system within Elmwood Park. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0. It was decided to extend yard waste pickup until the end of November, weather permitting. Gerald Jones reported the Public Safety Committee met to discuss unlawful parking, specifically the amount of time vehicles are allowed to be parked on the street. The committee recommended changing city code to increase the parking time from 48 hours to 168 hours. A motion was made by Gerald Jones, seconded by Andrew Black, to waive the first formal reading of Ordinance Number 1780, an ordinance amending Chapter 14, Article 4, pertaining to unlawful parking generally. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0. A motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Dale Jacobson, to approve the Personnel Committee's recommendation that beginning January 1, 2026, the employees in the Water, Sewer, Parks, Electric, and Public Works departments can choose monetary compensation in lieu of the current time-off policy for on-call shifts at the rate of 1 hour of straight pay for weekday shifts, 2 hours of straight pay for weekend shifts, and that police officers' shift differential pay increase from 35 cents an hour to $1 an hour, including weekend shifts. Jason noted, if passed, the personnel committee will have the resolutions making these changes ready for council passage in December. Vote taken, motion carried 6-0. Jason stated he has received a couple concerns on not being able to hear the siren on Washington Street in the southwest part of town. James stated he will have them make sure it's working properly. Jason also stated he received a report that the city has a water leak on the wash rack by the livestock barn. James stated they would address it. A motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Jim Miller, to approve the Elmwood Park street closure as presented and light parade map as presented, and the help of the police department on authorizing James to work with Kayla to shut off the street lights in Elmwood Park as necessary. Motion carried 6-0. A motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Dale Jacobson, to have the restrooms in Elmwood Park unlocked on November 28th. Vote taken, motion carried 6-0. Motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Dale Jacobson to approve appropriating ordinance number 21 as a whole. Vote taken, motion carried 6-0. A motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Dale Engelbert to adjourn. Vote taken, motion carried 6-0. I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call the Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Greg Akagi. In an ever-changing story, at least the process has started as the U.S. Senate voted to approve reopening the government. Now, this is just to get the 60 votes to get to the actual vote that they got in the U.S. Senate. So that is yet to come. And then after that, it goes to the U.S. House. And then after that, it would go to the president for his signature, if he doesn't veto it. Now, here are some of the things, though, that are going to take place as well. One of the things is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP, would return to normal funding levels after weeks of uncertainty. And if everything passes, lawmakers will now consider a legislative package that would fund the USDA and the FDA, the Department of Veterans Affairs and Military Construction Projects, and the operations of Congress for the full fiscal year, but all other agencies would be funded through January 30th. And that, of course, is before it still needs to pass the House and the President's signature before that happens. Now, if the bill to fund USDA extends crucial foreign policies set to expire at the end of the year, such as research programs and mandatory livestock price reporting, the inclusion of those programs, according to Politico, cast further doubts about the likelihood of a skinny farm bill passing this year, as farm industry groups and people close to the talks have warned about for months. Many GOP ag priorities were included in the Republicans' makeup law this summer, but the remaining programs required an expansion or updating before December. Also, an update, the Commodity Credit Corporation funds, and also the U.S. Grain Standards Act would need to be renewed as well. You're listening to the Kansas Agriculture Network.
Jeff Collier was Kansas's 47th governor and the Kansas chairman of Donald Trump's 2024 campaign. There's a reason President Trump said Jeff Collier was one hell of a governor. Collier cut taxes, eliminated wasteful spending, and created record jobs. He stood with law enforcement and kept our communities safe. And he took on the radical liberals to protect life and our religious liberty. Jeff Collier will always advance the America First agenda.
I'm Jeff Collier. As your governor, more Kansans were working than ever before. I took a scalpel to wasteful spending, and with law enforcement, we kept our community safe. I stood shoulder to shoulder with President Trump to get the job done.
A man of incredible integrity and class, your governor, Jeff Collier. Jeff is a great guy. He's doing a really incredible job. You have one hell of a governor.
Let's keep fighting for what's right. Let's put America and Kansas first.
Paid for by Kansas First, Inc. Gary Harshberger, Treasurer.
Kansas Agriculture Network Weather.
I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on the Kansas Agriculture Network. Well, it looks like a high pressure system is in control for the eastern half of the state today. And then actually there is a stationary front that's situated just to the west of Kansas for this afternoon. We'll see highs lingering around about the mid to lower 40s for the eastern half of the state this afternoon. A little bit warmer for the western half of the state, though, as that area will be on the warmer side of that stationary front. So looking at temperatures in the 50s to the lower 60s, our warmest spots looking to see maybe even mid-60s for the southwestern portions of Kansas this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies expected for this afternoon as well. Then for tonight, overnight lows expected to linger in the 30s, primarily for most of the state. It looks like, again, our warmest spots in the western portions, mid to upper 30s expected, mid to low 30s in the central portions of the state, and then actually dropping into the mid to upper 20s for the northeastern and southeastern parts of Kansas for tonight. And along with that, it looks like partly cloudy skies for the southern and northeastern portions of the state. A little bit of cloud cover starts to build in for tonight into the overnight hours for the northwestern and north central portions of Kansas. As we get to your day on Tuesday, it does look like that stationary front moves a little bit farther to the east, a little bit more cloud cover associated with this system. It looks like some areas of clouds, it looks like primarily for the central and eastern parts of the state, mostly for the morning hours, and then becoming mostly sunny for the entire state as we get to the afternoon. Overall, a warmer day. It looks like still warmer on the western half of the state, again, as those areas got a little bit of those warmer temperatures for this afternoon. Tomorrow, lingering in the 70s for the western half, into the 60s for the eastern half. Then a high pressure system settles in here for your Wednesday. Temperatures primarily in the 60s for most, our warmest spots into the 70s for the southwestern and south central portions of the state. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
If you're a farmer or rancher, chances are you've thought about joining Kansas Farm Bureau. So what's stopping you? Your membership means you have a seat at the table when it comes to the issues that affect your farm. Things like trade, taxes, water, and regulations. The state's largest farm advocacy organization brings your message to policy decision makers at the county, state, and national level. The voice of agriculture becomes your voice and fights for Kansas farmers and ranchers. And a Kansas Farm Bureau membership includes other benefits. For about $50 a year, you'll receive discounts on equipment and supplies, cell phone plans, financial and legal support, home and office supplies, and more. You'll also receive Kansas Living, a quarterly lifestyle magazine featuring real stories of farmers and producers around the state, plus great recipes, crafts, and things to see and do in Kansas. Join us today. Visit kfb.org/farmer-rancher to learn more.